scripture reading today, our scriptural affirmation, comes from first chapter of Daniel. Daniel is such a fascinating book. And in the first chapter of Daniel, starting at the 8th verse, "But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink.
Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants.
So he consented to them in this manner and proved them 10 days. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse.
As for these four children, God gave them knowledge, skill, and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams.
Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar.
And the king reunited with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king.
And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm.
And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today saying, you know what you're doing. This is such an odd day, and it feels like such an odd day. We want to admit that, Lord, and we're asking that you would just move in such a way that we will know that we know that we know that we've met with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We desperately want you. We need to hear from you. We need you to speak to us in this present situation. We thank you, we praise you, and expect that you're doing something that we could not have expected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Begin to hear the word of God for the day. Hopefully we're thinking about how God has loved us and kept us and wants us. How that this is not our home. We're at best ambassadors here. Sent here, put in this place to call others to a relationship with Jesus Christ, to call others to a place in the kingdom of the living God, to call others into a place where they can be loved and cared for, where they are washed in the blood, because that is their only hope in this world and in the world to come. They need to know that this is not our home, except and as God takes over this place and rules this place and rules in our life. Sometimes we kind of think we're the only people that have ever been disoriented. We're the only people that this stuff has happened to. Here we were, and everything was just fine, and now this, and now that, and all the world is just falling all apart all around us. But can you imagine what it must have been like for these young men from Judah? And we learn of their story in the book of Daniel. Daniel is an interesting, fascinating book because we kind of romanticize the life of Daniel. We kind of, you know, born to be a Daniel, you know, dare to be a Daniel, all of those things. And we don't think what a strange time it must have been. Here you get a young man named Daniel who is a teenager, probably a young teenager at that. He is snatched out of his home. Everything that he's known, everything that he's heard about has been destroyed or changed or altered. They tried to change his name. They brought him to a place and said, you know what? You're kind of handsome and you look like you might be a smart. We want you to learn all of the things about this new culture that we've brought you into. We're gonna snatch you up, take you here, and then we're going to make sure that you are put into this culture and you learn it well, because we want to see just how smart you are. You see, the world does that today. It enfolds us in this crazy culture that we live in. And then we're supposed to be able to spit back whatever this world thinks. We're supposed to be able to regurgitate everything that they teach us. And we're supposed to be able to be who we are while living in this foreign land. Are you able to do that? What happens to you as you realize you're surrounded by all of this stuff that is, well, if you're a Christian, it's just not your home. It's just not who you are. And so these young men are taken. And let's look at the first chapter of Daniel. We'll start at the 8th verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart. What have you made up in your heart today? What are you sure that you're going to do regardless of what happens around you? What are you sure you're going to be in spite of what the world tells you? What are you going to do anyway, no matter what? See, so many times I find that I and others I've observed, they're waiting to see what the world does to see what kind of person they're going to be. They look around to see what kind of clothes they're going to wear by what everybody else is wearing. They look around and determine what kind of language they're going to use by the way everybody else is speaking. They look around and determine what they're going to think by what everybody else is thinking. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would not allow the world to change him into anything that brought him at odds with God. You've got to make that decision. I really think it's a decision that we make every day when we wake up. Because the world is pressing in on us and it wants you to defile yourself. It wants you to lie on your taxes. It wants you to cheat on a test. It wants you to cheat on your mate. It wants you to behave in a way that does not honor God. It wants you to behave in a way that does not show the goodness of God. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Listen, we ought to admit that there's stuff out there that can occasionally be fun. It can be downright tasty. It can be seductive. And even though we know that there's a possibility it's not going to work out, it feels so good right now. Oh, the things that draw you, the things that pull you away. I just want to see that. I just want to look at that. It's not going to hurt me. I won't continue to think that way. I won't continue to pursue that. I just want to taste that. Oh, I know the feeling of euphoria that it brings to my heart. I just want to go there. Everybody else is there, especially that one that I really like. I just want to be accepted like everybody else. The taste of the world, it's seductive. And we don't even know that it's seductive. Sometimes we're just trying to do a good thing. We just want to be liked. You ever just want to be liked? It's like, you know, life is hard enough. Can't people just like me? Can I just be okay with everybody? I don't have to stick out. In fact, can I not stick out? I hate to tell you this, but you stick out if you're his. I know that. Maybe that's not the wisest thing for me to tell you, because I want you all to be his. And if I tell you that you're going to stick out, you might say, well, I'm not so sure that that's what I want. But you're going to stick out as something beautiful, special, useful, that will go on through eternity. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, the everyday stuff of life, nor with the wine which he drank, the things that would intoxicate. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. It's really interesting today. We're an angry bunch, getting to be known as an angry bunch as Christians. Have you ever noticed that? We're just mad about everything. They tell us, don't do this. Well, we want to do it, but it's not good for you. I don't care if it's good for me or not. You can't tell me if it's good for me. I decide myself if it's good for me. Okay, all right. Just calm down. You know, we're just angry and we're demanding our rights. And here is a young man with his group of friends, and they have been abducted, and they're in a different place, and they could have just dug their heels in and not eaten any of the food and not shown anybody they were doing. They could have hid it out and maybe put it in a garden and used it for something to fertilize the food that they really wanted to eat. But that's not what they did. They went through the process of saying, this is not what we want to do. They took the chance that they would be maligned, that they would be harmed for saying, we cannot do this. This is not of us. How can you, authority, help us to live in a way that is right in the eyes of God? We're not going to do what you want us to do, but we are coming to you respectfully saying, is there another solution? Do we do that today? Do we attempt to find solutions to do things that are right in God's eyes, but not offensive? It's hard. I admit, sometimes I want you to understand it does not work out. You can do the right thing and they kill you for it. You need to understand that. But I'm telling you, do the right thing anyway. So the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. Listen, the rules are this. Who hath appointed your meat and your drink? For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. See, personally, I'm okay with what you want to do, but that's against the rules. How do I know that what's going to happen to you, it might not work out and I'll be in trouble for you? So Daniel comes up with a test. Then said Daniel to Melzar, or to the steward, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, test us, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat. We'll eat the vegetables and water to drink. We won't take any of this wine. By the way, have you ever stopped to wonder why it was such a big deal what they ate? Because although they were providing the finest things that the king himself would eat, it appeared that it was stuff that was going to be given over to idols. There was probably blood. There was probably horse flesh. There were probably things that might have tasted good for that period of time, that people might have thought those were good things to eat, but they were clearly things that had implications that were against both the Jewish religion and obviously given over to idols. There are things you can do today that you just can't do, not because they're so bad, but because of the implications of what they mean when you do them. So, verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. When you honor God, it's an amazing thing how he will keep you. It's an amazing thing when you'll do the right thing. Some of us have cloyed and scratched at trying to do it our own way, and we seem to not survive at all. But when we dig our heels in and say, we're going to do it God's way, God blesses so amazingly. Betty and I still laugh, I think, over the years that at some of the times when we were poorest, financially poorest, it was, we would be flying all over the world, doing all kinds of crazy things, going all kinds of places, eating at the finest restaurants with some of the most fascinating people. It was an amazing thing, but all through that time, we chose to honor God with all that we had. And he kept us. And he has kept us to this day. He's brought us to this place. He's given us friends like you. How good is that? How cool is that? my God has been faithful. My God has kept me. People looking in from the outside wouldn't get it, but we know that God is good. God is so, so very, very good. At the end of 10 days, verse 15, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter. Well, I guess we got the fatter part down. Fairer and fatter in flesh, and all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar the steward took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. So what's the point? The point is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Give yourself over to him. It makes sense. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you. And he can take you through all of this confusing world. Don't cling to this stuff. Let it go. And allow God to work in your life, because it is him that you have to do with. God has blessed us. He has kept us. And I know this is kind of a strange sermon today. But today, will you make it up in your mind and in your heart that you will not defile yourself with the things of this world, but you will give yourself over to serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It's worth it. It's worth it. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Father, I praise you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you that you are worth it all, and that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in you should not perish but have everlasting life. And today you want to empower us to live even in the midst of this foreign place where the world seems to have gone crazy, but you want to use us right here and now. Not some time way off in the future, but now you want us to let our light so shine among men that people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give ourselves to you. We surrender to you, knowing we don't understand it all, knowing that we don't always get it, and not knowing what it's all going to mean in the end, except for this, that the glory of the Lord will be spread across the earth. We thank you for accepting us, for keeping us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue to